الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We praise God Almighty for everything that He has sustained us with. We ask for His guidance and we ask for His forgiveness. And we ask that when we err and fall off of His path, that He bring us back onto His straight path with full repentance. And we ask for His support and refuge and shelter from all that is evil. And we ask that He accept all of our deeds and our intentions to serve Him and Him alone. And whoever is guided by God will never be misguided. And whoever is misguided will never find any true guide that brings wisdom or benefit to him or her. And we bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is His messenger and His servant. There is a hadith that I ran across, very interesting hadith, that is so pertinent for today. The hadith is found in Abu Dawood number 4919, and also in Al-Tirmidhi in 2509, both in Muslim and Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ asked his companions, "Do you want me to tell you what is better than the rank of fasting, prayer, and charity?" Let me repeat the question that he asked his companions. Do you want to know what is better than the rank of fasting, prayer, or charity? And obviously they answered, yes. And then he replied, "Making peace between people among whom there is discord, for the evil of discord destroys religion and destroys humanity." The exact words are, "It is the shaver," and the shaver means that it is cutting through humanity and cutting through religion, and therefore it is destroying our society. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling people that our fasting and our prayer and our charity is actually the drivers to making peace between people, to settling discord in our society. That is the real litmus test, then, of our faith. And brothers and sisters, I think we all know there is discord in our society today. On 9/11, they said, "We are struggling for the soul of Islam." That was on 9/11/2001. On 11/9/2016, they started saying, "We are struggling for the soul of America." And this is not a talk on politics. This is a talk on principles. Are we as a community, are we as a society abiding by the principles that we espouse? That is what we have to be thinking about. Not the symptoms of what we see, but the causes of what causes this discord, and therefore what we want to see, what is our vision for a better situation. We had yesterday the brave, heroic testimony of Christine Blasey Ford, who was the latest survivor of sexual assault to come forward with compelling testimony. What is the real issue, and I'm not trying to belittle her, but that is a symptom of a larger problem, is that in our culture today, we are shoving aside the words of women, we are shoving aside people of color, we are shoving aside vulnerable communities for the purpose of the self-interest of the powerful. That is the inequity that we are dealing with today. And whether it is sexual assault, or it is the exploitation of labor, or it is the cruel punishment and cruel treatment of refugees and the homeless. It is basically the same cause that is talking about our soul as a society. And we all know the anti-Muslim sentiment in our society. And there was an article in the New York Times yesterday that speaks to this anti-Muslim animus in our society. It was written by a scholar in religious liberty named Asmuddin, a Muslim. It's in the New York Times, and the title of it is "The Latest Attack on Islam, It's Not a Religion." When people used to say Islam is not a religion, she says, "This once seemed like an absurd fringe argument, but it has gained momentum. John Bennett, a Republican state legislator in Oklahoma, said in 2014, Islam is not even a religion. It is a political system that uses a deity to advance its agenda of global conquest. In 2015, a former assistant U.S. attorney, Andrew McCarthy, said in the National Review that Islam should be understood as conveying a belief system that is not merely or even primarily religious. In 2016, Michael Flynn, who the next year was briefly President Trump's national security advisor, told an ACT for America conference in Dallas that Islam is a political ideology that hides behind the notion of it being a religion. In January 2018 news release, Neil Tapio of South Dakota, a Republican state senator who was planning to run for the U.S. House of Representatives, questioned whether the First Amendment applies to Muslims. So the cause is the exploitation of fear, of uncertainty, and of ignorance, and pushing the vulnerable to the side for the purpose of the establishment. And whether we're talking about an attack on women, or attack on Muslims, or attack on immigrants, or attack on any group, what we're talking about in reality is that we are in the midst of a struggle for the soul of America. And there are three options we have, brothers and sisters. The first option is we just stand as spectators. We watch the news, and the most we do is we'll shout at the TV screen. Or the second option, we resist. Lawsuits, protests, oppositional politics. The third option, which is the most challenging option, but which is the option that makes the most impacting change, is to change the culture of our society. And that is the option that we have to look to when we read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that when we see something that is evil, then we should change it with our hand, if not with our tongue, speak against it with our tongue, and if not, at least despise it in our heart. We do what we can, even if it is very little. And again, the Prophet's hadith that I recited at the beginning, making peace between people among whom there is discord, that is better than the rank of fasting, prayer, and charity, because this evil discord destroys society. So let us go deeper into this problem. One problem, is this word patriotism. You hear patriotism a lot. America, our country, take back our country, the flag. Patriotism has been disconfigured to actually mean you have to promote the war, profiling, and the wall. Patriotism actually means love for your country, but it has become love for a gang and unleashing fervor against those who are vulnerable. This is distorted patriotism. That is what we are dealing with today. It is the love of a gang, not the love of a country. The love of a tribe, not the love of a nation. And so patriotism has been defiled. Human nature is actually to descend to tribalism, whereas God's will is to ascend to values, to ascend tribalism, and to ascend that gang mentality. When we make the Pledge of Allegiance, whether you become a citizen or you go to school or anything that where the pledge is announced, it is we pledge allegiance, one nation under God. The Declaration of Independence says we have a government that should derive its just powers from the consent of the governed. And these are the values of freedom. This is the soul of our country, and we are losing that soul. We are losing that sense of freedom in our society. My point to you, brothers and sisters, today is that we American Muslims are fit to help regain the collective national soul of America towards freedom. For example, when we make the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, that is our cry for freedom. We will not submit to any human being. We only submit to the one and only God. That is our cry for liberation. That is what the soul of America needs right now. When the Quran says in Surah Al-Kahf, Surah number 18, verse number 29, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Say, this is the truth from your Lord. So whoever wills, let him believe. And whomever wills, let him disbelieve. It is our religion that brought this idea of freedom of religion to society. When Umar radiallahu an was the khilafah, and he was told that an Egyptian governor who liked athletics was involved in a race, and when he lost, he beat up his opponent. And so Omar summoned that governor, and when the governor arrived, he told this governor, how can you attempt to enslave people when their mothers have borne them free? Omar radiallahu anhu, also, when he went to Jerusalem, he established the charter for Jerusalem. And in that charter, he basically said that the Christians can keep their crosses and keep their churches in the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. This is a security which Omar, the servant of God, the commander of the faithful, grants to the people of Ailia. He grants to all, whether sick or sound, security for their lives, their possessions, their churches, and their crosses, and for all that concerns their religion. This is the epitome of freedom in our religion. And so, when we look to these values of Islam and these values of America, they're actually very similar. And I was with Masjid Umar ibn Khattab down the street 2 weeks ago, and we invited the chief of police, and we explained to him about the Hijra, and about the Prophet, and about his companions. And at the end, the chief of police, with all the problems that are happening with our police today that we told him about, when we explained to him how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with problems in his society, the chief of police of the Los Angeles Police Department said, I am so happy to see that the values of the Prophet of Islam are identical to the values of America. So brothers and sisters, Islam is not just a religion. Islam is a great religion, a religion we need to make peace between people, a religion we need to reclaim the soul of our country. Udu Rabbakum. Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. What is our role then? Our role is where we can, we're only 1% of the population, but where we can, in strategic places, reset the terms of conversation to align our country back to the principles. So when people talk about patriotism, we should demand that we speak about the true definition of patriotism and not concede that definition to right-wing extremists, to racists. Let's face it. We say, well, we don't want to talk about patriotism because that is associated with racists. We should demand that that word is meaning what its actual meaning is. It means love for one's country and loyalty to our American ideals and values. So to be patriotic, out of love for my country, I oppose and dissent the policies that are unjust. So we are serving true patriotism, not distorted patriotism. And when we talk about our faith, it is love for one's religion and loyalty to God and Islam's values. So out of love for my religion, I stand for justice, even if it is against my own personal interests. These are the conversations that we need to have around our community and around our society. And media and politics obviously tend to polarize people. But we, brothers and sisters, have a responsibility that is articulated very clearly in the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And to that means, you have been made to be the people, the community of the middle way. We are not going to be pulled to the far left, and we're not going to be pulled to the far right. That is what is creating the collapse of this country. But what will save this country is the center space. The center space is what is the most vital space that we need in this country today. The center space is the space where people can negotiate these issues. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the place, the center space, where we can make peace between people among whom there is discord, for the evil of discord destroys our society. Like I said, it is not the most newsworthy space, but it is the most vital space of our society today. And that is where our 1% should be strategically positioned in our society. And there have been examples of that, that have been exemplified by people in the center. For example, there are a group of evangelicals who came to this mosque, and they spoke to the youth group in this mosque, and the youth group asked questions, and the evangelicals asked questions about Islam that were very difficult. And I'm proud to tell you, brothers and sisters, when the youth group responded, they answered the question with clarity, with accuracy, and with dignity, and the evangelicals walked out with more respect for Islam. That is the center space that we need to help enrich our country with the values of freedom, of human dignity, and justice. And now we have the elections. The elections are coming out, brothers and sisters. It's only 6 weeks away. And we cannot tell you how to vote. But we must demand that we all vote. And I assume that everyone here is responsible enough to come to Jummah, is also responsible enough to register to vote. So make sure you are registered. The deadline for registration is next Tuesday. And more importantly, ask people around you, your friends, your families, your colleagues at school, your coworkers, are they registered to vote? If they are not registered to vote, they should vote. As President Barack Obama said, the best form of resistance, the best form of protest is to vote in this upcoming election, because that will determine where our country is going for the next 2 years, 4 years, maybe even longer. What's important is not that what America is not the America we see today in the news. What is important is the America we envision for tomorrow. And inshallah, we will have our best performance and best outcome in terms of our community going out to vote. I can tell you, alhamdulillah, that throughout the country, there are 100 Muslims running for office today. And one of them is a 17-year-old who is coming out of high school, who's running for city council. Now, we pay attention to who's running for president, and who's running for governor, and who's running for Senate, but sometimes the most important position is the person in the local office. And these young people, there are three of them, they're running for local office, and that will be a great start for them, inshallah. And when they are running for office, let me tell you, They are declaring they are proud Muslims running for office. This is a great accomplishment for our ummah, because sometimes people leave their religion to run for office or to be successful in their business. These people are adhering and even more connected to their faith when they're running for public office. That is the future that we want to envision for Islam in America, inshallah.